Blog Talk Radio.
Put us in, so it won't be that much background noise.
Okay.
All right, just when they click in, they should be brought to.
Okay.
I got that on, I found that website too for the visiting room.
Okay.
Nigga got working on it. You're like, God damn, nigga, we've been talking for 2 weeks. You got me doing everything. All right, but you just need to write this down because it looks like they ain't going to press this through yet. Did you press 1?
They ain't telling me. They just told me to hold.
That's all they told you to do?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was supposed to say press 1 or something.
Mm-mm.
And you can't call back, can you? Because we don't hold.
I can't try to hang. Oh, dang, I can't.
Hold up, let me see what's going on. Hold up, I'll be back.
Yes.
Hey, look, I'm gonna hang up so we can three-way them back. You hear me?
Okay.
That's your phone.
I don't know what that was.
Nimrod, you can speak if you have something to say.
Okay. Hold on. Hey, Nick. This is Nick,
yeah. Ascari is not on the line. I don't know what happened.
Oh, so it just dropped me, so the show's still going?
Yes.
Oh, man, okay. Hey, I guess I'm picking up slack for my man, Ascari. I guess the show today was supposed to be about Life Behind the Wall. I guess we're having difficulties on both sides. So hopefully he'll get back through. But I guess he was, employing me today to, be a guest on the show so we can give y'all some kind of details and descriptions about how we live behind these walls. Majority of the time, a lot of families and friends don't realize, the importance of prison awareness or penal system awareness. Because if individuals don't know, 1 in 3 blacks have a chance statistically to end up in a jail or a prison cell. With that being said, that 1 in 3 people can be your father, your brother, your son. So for real, literally, the penal system has entered the black household. And a lot of times, if you pay attention now, they use certain laws, now what we call the felony law, when you get a felony, to strip you of your rights to vote. So at sometimes, as they strip you of your rights, being that so many blacks are locked up, blacks make up 20% of American population. Within the U.S., it's 1 to every 5 blacks that's locked up to 1 white. So now you can see the disfranchisement that come about. It's 4,500 people or felonies, people with felonies in Virginia that can't vote. So now you can see the disfranchisement of voting. And what this does, it causes individuals to not be able to change laws. And being that blacks in Virginia or what they call apolitical mean that a lot of us don't vote, it allow us to fall victim to these laws that they're implying. Now, if you put it in a nutshell, check this out. If you know somebody that's locked up, ask yourself, how much money do you send to that person a month or a year? Then ask yourself how this relationship with that individual you got locked up affects you emotionally. So then ask yourself, when you ask yourself all these questions, the next question you got to ask come behind that is, how can we change this? Now, first of all, you already see what goes on with police brutality. Check this out. They say it's, 1,128 police shootings, killings take place a year in America. That's the equivalence of 2 murders a day by police hands. Now, if you ask yourself what all this got to do with the penal system, you just see that if the police represents the state, and the state represents the penal system, then you can see how all this comes together in one thing. It comes together in one thing because now you can start seeing that racism serves an important issue when it comes down to the penal system. Because if you have a population that's 90% of the world of the U.S. population, but you got 60% of the prison population that's black, that's your problem. Because if 1 in 3 blacks are locked up, that's your problem. That means out of every 3 people you know somebody that's locked up. Now, this is your problem. Now, the thing becomes, you have to become aware. Because now, your son, your husband, your father getting locked up, the conversation is as simple as the birds and the bees now. You literally got to set your son down and tell him, listen, this is how you avoid the police. This is how you avoid prison. Now, ask yourself, do you think people in other communities, whites in the white community or the Asian community, got to set their son down and even contemplate having this decision? So now we enter in the realms of what we call white privilege. If we enter in the realms of white privilege, that means that the African-American experience come with certain ties and residues that don't apply. Right? So then we have to ask ourselves, what's the problem?
Peace, Nimrod.
The great. Man, that's a vital question we got to ask ourselves. Hey, Ascari.
Nimrod.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shot, son. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, peace to the God. What's the science?
You the science. What you was talking about, man? I came in on the half, and I was catching some of it. Exactly what was you speaking on?
Man, I was building about, you know what I'm saying, life behind the wall, and how life behind the wall has now entered into our community that is at the front step of the African-American family. Because if 1 in 3 people are locked up in Virginia, that means that they have a chance to knowing somebody locked up. Now they got to ask themselves the question, how does this affect you knowing somebody locked up emotionally? How does this tax you financially? So that means that the prisoner's fight has now become theirs. So we have to become aware, and we have to know and do our due diligence about, you know, the penal system and the effects it has directly on the black family, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. I got you. You know what? You know, every nation or every race of people have, like, a rites of passage ceremony or rites of passage event for the young girl or the young boy, you know, in their respective communities, right? You know how the Jews have the bar mitzvahs for the boys when they're coming into manhood. Various indigenous people have different customs that they go through to kind of mark the beginning of a child passing from adolescence into adulthood. And unfortunately, it seems as if prison or coming into prison has become a rite of passage for the black community. And it's so commonplace and it's so regular that it is expected almost of you for you to make your passage into prison. And that passage into prison is mistakenly viewed as this is your beginning to manhood. And
that's right.
Yeah, and ultimately, for real, it's not hard to tell that this was shaped, this was fashioned, this was molded in a certain kind of way. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be happening at such a large number with just a specific group of people. If this wasn't like something that was done by design, then it would be more inclusive.
That's right.
It would be a tad bit more inclusive, and these numbers wouldn't show such a disparity between the races. You know, it's no coincidence that the majority of us that are incarcerated are black or brown.
That's right.
It's no coincidence.
You know what's shocking to me also? It seems like the penitentiary has become educational centers for blacks, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's a place where, you know, like individuals like us that fell victim to this penal.
Hotel, yo.
Hotel, what's up with Ari?
Peace. Add on them, right? I'm sorry, bro.
Okay. It's like individuals like us that fell victim to this system, you know, not taken away from accountability, but individuals like us. Now, we have came to the penitentiary, reformed ourselves, educated ourselves, and became better men and also better citizens to the United States of America in a whole in our community. Now, it took us to have to come to the penal system in order to find this information.
Right.
So now
This is our institution of higher learning.
This is our institution of higher learning. And the question needs to be asked, is it not something wrong with that? Do the educated brother, even the cliche of the educated brother, should that cliche depict somebody who came home from prison?
Not at all.
Hey, yo, I want to ask y'all, I'm glad to have y'all on the show, man. Quick to interject, I'm sorry. I'm glad to have y'all on the show. It looked like we've had some technical difficulties for a minute, though. But we're straight now. All right, so, Sha.
Yes,
last
question I want to pose to you, man. You've been in the system how long now?
22 years.
22 years, man. What would you say is probably the hardest thing, the thing most difficult for you to have to deal with over those 22 years in prison?
That's funny that you asked me that specific question because, you know, I was building with my queen just last night about that very same thing. Honestly, the largest thing that I've had to wrestle with is knowing that I have grown or I'm growing into, for lack of a better term, a man in every sensitive word, and I'm not able to act it out, if you will. It's nothing like seeing your own progress. It's nothing like feeling your own growth and knowing your own development and seeing how it affects others in a positive way and still not be able to exercise your growth and your development on a level where the reciprocal or what comes back to you aids and assists not only you but your people as a whole. And so since I've been in here, starting out at 19 and I'm now 40, and I'll be 41 in August, that has been my biggest thing. You know, it's very disheartening, to be honest, to know that you've grown, to know that you have come into the necessary faculties as a man to handle the responsibilities of manhood and still not be able to exercise them.
So Nimrod, I would pose to you the same question, man. And being that you came in here as a juvenile, you know what I'm saying? So, like, what would you say has been the most difficult thing for you to deal with? And what would you convey to people out there who got kids that they see kind of heading in the wrong direction, particularly the sisters out there raising young boys, man?
Yeah, I think heavy on that, man, especially when confronted, you know, like the statistic I've been throwing around for almost 15 minutes, man, 1 in 3. So that can easily be your juvenile son. And that was me. That was me, and I was unaware of the problem. And the hardest thing, when I entered the penal system, imagine being a 16-year-old child around adults. Not only adults, but this was, you know, considered the athletic group, the aggressive group. Now imagine how that affected me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, like Shia said, I'm sitting here from 16. Now I'm 33 years old. You know, that made a total, complete change. I had to revamp myself with the information and the new experiences that I was equipped with. And what hurt me the most, you know, what I think lessened my progress is, like he said, I can't even practice adulthood in its truest form. I can't become the provider for the individuals that's core in my life. It also, you know, scarred me emotionally because of, you know, relationships that has came and went. Imagine not even being, I have never paid a bill. I have never wrote a check.
That's real. So hearing that, I heard you say you mentioned your queen, and I think oftentimes we overlook. But what would you say to people out there about the significance of relationships, you know, with our women in prison and how they hold us down? Speak to that for people who may not be aware of the difficulties of that, but just how prevalent it is also, though.
First of all, there's nothing like a cool glass of water to drink while you walk in the desert. And what I mean by that is, when you're in a hellacious situation, not only do you need somebody's sympathy, but you need somebody's empathy who can understand your plight and understand what it is that you're going through, even though they're not going through it. And so, for me, you know, my queen, she understands me on a level much deeper than much deeper than he's my man and I'm with him and I'm going to do this time with him. It's much deeper than that. She understands that there's, and I always like to use this term because I hear all of the politicians throw this around, but there's a fundamental flaw, if you will, in
the system. She knows that this flaw unfairly targets a certain population of her men.
That's right.
And so she understands that I'm not only just here for him, I'm here for him and them. And the them is those who are like him, those who are, as this interview was having. And so the support is necessary because it allows me to be able to somewhat, as best I can, keep up with the current, you know, mode of society and the current speed, and, you know, which is necessary because if the prison system would have its way, they would have me come home and be socially inept. They would have me be socially retarded and be a social derelict to the point where my functionability is not of a level where I'd be accepted into society, and I would be basically forced to engage in a behavior that would send me back to a quote unquote comfort zone that I knew.
You have
They would have me be that way. And so, you know, yeah.
So I'm dealing with that right there. What would you say, man, you know, people who don't get the opportunity to actually bear witness to this environment, see it on a daily basis. What does this look like? You know what I'm saying? What would you say to a person if they said, what does this look like? You know what I'm saying? And how does this impact the psyche and the soul of an individual, man?
Okay. Hey, that's a beautiful question. Yo, Ascari, you on them this morning, man. It's ugly. It's beautiful. It's happy. It's sad. It's depressing. It's uplifting. It's motivating. It's very defeating. It's all of those things. And when an individual has those range of emotions every day, then that leaves an emotional scar so deep on an individual that it's no soap on the planet that can wash that off of him. So he has to be an individual that is very grounded in himself, understand the reality that he's in, and do his damnedest not to get sucked into it to the point where he loses himself. This is ugly. Prison is ugly. There's nothing glamorous about it. I hate rappers who want to make prison time be their calling card to the to whether or not they are quote unquote official or not in these streets. This is ugly. And this is not a calling card that any man should want, specifically black men. Because when we show up on the planet, the cards are against us.
That's right.
So this right here is extremely ugly. And there's nothing glamorous about this. And so for those who think that we're in here and we're living good because we may have access to a TV or because they may give us three meals, and those three meals are equivalent to three doses of death coming through a tray slot. And because we may be able to engage in a phone conversation, or, you know, we might have a player that grants us this limited email access, that we have it good. This is ugly. Period. I'm watching men lose their mind. I'm watching men succumb to their passions and desires to the point where they can be qualified and defined as animals.
I'm feeling, you know, that's great that you're giving this realness to the people, because people need to know what they're investing their tax dollars into while they closing schools and shit down, right? But at the same time, you know, dealing with my man Nimrod, I know at one time, you know, you engaged in a little gang, you was in a gang activity growing up, came in, grew up in prison. So could you explain a little bit, and I think we're running out of time, but could you explain a little bit about, you know, what exactly is going on with the gang culture in prison and how the prison system, you know, basically creates that?
At the expense of sounding Republican, right, I'm not saying that the prison system, some people not deserving of the penitentiary. okay, you do your time. That's understood. But, you know what I'm saying,
right.
We have to keep things in its proper context. You know, with the gang thing.
Hello?
Oh, wow.
Being that you uneducated, being that you underdeveloped, being that you, you financially not sound, we have a tendency as youth to look for a family. And what happens in the penitentiary, gangs become breeding pools because of the family type setting. So while you in a conditioned place, we gravitate as a youth gravitate to these gangs. And when we get into these gangs, you know, we think we found family.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
But in turn, the gang, you know, end up, you know, serving, you know, it limits you also. So when
I don't mean to cut your words or something. We less than 60 seconds, all of us. We going to finish this. We going to finish this real soon, maybe Monday or something like that. We're going to figure it out, man. For the people out there, free on political prisoners. Sean, Jimbo, thank you so much, man. We love y'all out there. Support us. We need your help. Virginians for Better Nutrition. Free all political prisoners. Bang on the system. We need your help. Peace.
Bang on the system.
Post up. Post up.